The elderly bishop looked at his young nephew and spoke three words. Simple words, but words which went to that young man's heart, changing him from being a worldly young Catholic to one who is sincere in the practice of his Catholic faith. Those three words were these: save your soul. And that is the same message that we come to bring to you during this weekend of our parish mission. Save your soul, save your immortal soul, for this is the one and only business of your life. This is the reason why God has created you. Right now, we're going to look at this subject of salvation in three points. Firstly, that God has created you to enjoy the happiness of heaven one day. Second, that not everyone will be saved. And third, that if you end up in hell, it will be your own fault. Let's begin with our first point. God has created you to enjoy the happiness of heaven one day. If you look into your catechism, practically the very first question in there is, why did God make you? And what's the answer? Well, Father, God made me to have fun. He made me to be rich and famous. That's not what it says. What does it say? Why did God make you? God made you to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life. Why? So that one day you can be happy with him forever in heaven. God has not created you simply for the things of this world. You have been created for a far more noble purpose. And if you were to ask the damned souls in hell right now, what do they enjoy of the riches that they had during their life on earth? Do they still have their fancy sports car? Do they still have their money and their nice house? What will they tell you? No, they say, because we loved these things, worldly things, more than we loved God. All of this has been taken from us. You ask them next, what about the honors that you possessed during your life on earth? Don't you have any of that fame where you are now in hell? And what did they tell you? No, they reply, because we loved honors and fame more than we loved God, this has been taken from us also. And you ask them finally, what about all the pleasures that you enjoyed during your life on earth? Don't you have any of those where you are now in hell? And what do they say? No, they tell you, because we loved pleasures and fun more than we loved God, all of this has been taken from us and forever. So God has created you for something much better than the things of this world. God has created you to enjoy the happiness of heaven one day. And you have only one chance to save your soul. You may remember the story of St. Francis of Assisi. One day, towards the end of his life, the saint was praying on Mount Alverno in Italy when suddenly God raised up the saint into this ecstasy. And here is St. Francis of Assisi suspended in mid-air. St. Francis could look above him into heaven. And what does he see there? He sees the glory of God, Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angels and the saints. He can hear the beautiful harmonies of the celestial choirs singing the praises of God. He can smell these sweet odors wafting down to him from heaven. And there are the angels beckoning to Saint Francis, encouraging him to come up to enjoy their happiness with them. But remember, Saint Francis is suspended in mid-air. So not only can he look above him into heaven, but he can also look below him into hell. And what does he see there? There, the jaws of hell are open, and he can look into this black abyss. He can hear the screams of the tortured damned, the reproaches of the demons. He can smell the stench arising from the sulfur of the fire. And there is the long arm of the demon reaching out of the abyss, trying, if he can, to grab hold of Saint Francis in order to drag him down into his own misery. Now, you and I are, like Saint Francis of Assisi in this life, suspended, as it were, between heaven and hell. God's doing everything he can to help you save your soul, but the devil's doing everything he can to drag you into the abyss. So if you want to get to heaven, and that's why you're all here tonight, you've got to avoid sin, which is the only thing that can keep you out of heaven. Now, because of our fallen human nature, it's so easy to take sin and tepidity for granted. Oh, Father, it's just a venial sin. Give up the internet and my entertainment. How am I going to live? The rosary, 15 minutes every day. I'm dying. When you realize that God has created you for something far better than the things of this world, he has created you for the happiness of heaven. Don't you think that God deserves something better from us? We need to remember that heaven is worth any sacrifice. I'm sure you all know the story of Saint Thomas More, who was the Chancellor of England under King Henry VIII. And because Thomas would not compromise his conscience, he was thrown into the dungeon in the Tower of London, where the saint languished for many months. One day, the saint's simple wife, Alice, came to visit him in his dungeon cell. "Oh, Thomas," Alice said, "look, if you'd only tell the king what he wants to hear from you, you don't even have to believe what you say. You just have to say it. Think of it, Thomas. The king will let you out of this prison cell. He'll let you come back home. And you're not such an old man yet, Thomas. You've got another 20 years of happiness with the family. Won't you do this for me?" Now, Saint Thomas More, he loved his wife, but he loved God more. And he said, "Alice, think of what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to compromise my conscience, to commit a deliberate mortal sin. If I do what you ask, no doubt the king will let me out of this prison cell. He will let me go back home. But how do you suppose, Alice, that I could have one moment's peace of soul for the rest of my life? I would be spiritually tortured for my remaining years. And then I die and I go to my judgment. And I end up in hell because of that one deliberate mortal sin that I was not sorry for. And hell, Alice, is forever. Think of what you're asking me to do. Is it a fair exchange? I don't think so." And of course, St. Thomas More was right, because heaven is worth any sacrifice. Heaven is worth any prize. Because God has not created you simply for the things of this world, its fun, its fame, its fortune. No, God has created you for a far more noble purpose. He has created you to enjoy the unending happiness of heaven with Him one day. And that brings us to our second point. Not everyone will be saved. Now, for the past 60 years or so, we've all heard about universal salvation, how everyone's going to heaven except those nasty traditionalist Catholics. Now, we traditional Catholics, we've got our own version of this. It goes something like this. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a trad. I might even be a bad rad traditionalist, a radical traditionalist. I might even be so bad that I'd say, I'm a traditionalist Catholic, so I have a one-way ticket to heaven. You're not, so you don't, so there. Now, that's not the way that the saints looked at salvation. Consider, for example, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who would go around his monastery with his head in his hands saying, who knows whether I am going to be saved or if I am going to be lost? And if the saints could say that about themselves, what about us? But Father, you say, surely the Bible, the good book, will tell us something that makes us feel good about ourselves. Okay, let's open up the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, where Jesus tells us, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few there are who find it. Few. Then we can turn to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, where a young man comes up to Jesus and asks him, Lord, are they few who are saved? Instead of answering the question, Jesus instead gives the young man practical advice. Strive to enter by the narrow gate, our Lord says, for many will not. Then we can turn back to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, where Jesus tells us, many are called, but few are chosen. Few. So sacred scripture itself convinces us that even among Catholics, not everyone will be saved. But Father, you say, what if I do lots of penance for my sins? Penance is indeed important. And yet, St. Ambrose observes that it's easier to find one soul that has never offended God by a deliberate mortal sin than it is to find one soul that has actually done sufficient penance for its sins. But Father, you say, I go regularly to confession. Isn't that a guarantee of salvation? Frequent confession is very helpful. But even among traditional Catholics, occasionally you find someone who is making deliberately bad confessions. It may be for any of five reasons. Someone who is deliberately hiding mortal sins from the priest because they're too embarrassed to admit to them. Other, perhaps also because they are not truly sorry for having offended God, or they're not willing to have a firm purpose of amendment to change their life for the future. It may be also that they are not truly willing to avoid the proximate occasions of mortal sin. And finally, those who are unwilling to make restitution for grave sins of injustice towards their neighbor. For these souls, these bad confessions, instead of being stepping stones leading the soul towards heaven, these bad confessions actually lead the soul deeper into the misery of hell. But Father, you say, doesn't God love everyone? How can he be such a mean old nasty ogre to send so many souls to hell? Of course God loves everyone. God loves you. We know that. Our Catholic faith teaches that. The question is, how much do you love God? Do you love God more than yourself? More than the fun, fame, and fortune of this world? Or are you willing to sacrifice God and the state of his grace in order to indulge your lower passions? But Father, you say, isn't God infinitely merciful? Yes, God is infinitely merciful, but he will not force anyone into heaven. If anyone chooses to love themselves and the things of this world more than God, God will not force them into heaven. He will not force his mercy upon them. Well, Father, you might be thinking, right now my chances of ending up in hell are probably pretty high, so why should I even bother trying? I might as well at least enjoy life before I end up in hell. No, that's a temptation of the devil who tries to get us to despair. He did that also with the apostles. We're told in the Gospels that one day the apostles came up to Jesus saying, Lord, who then can be saved? And Jesus told them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that brings us to our third point, that if you end up in hell, it will be your own fault. Let's take a look at two truths. They're like the two sides of the same coin. You can't separate the one from the other. Here's the first truth, that God wants everyone to be saved. This is certain. God tells us through the prophet Ezekiel, I do not desire the death of the sinner, but that he convert and live. Start by thinking of everything that God has given to you precisely to help you get to heaven. To each of you, God has given certain gifts of nature and of grace. Gifts of nature. To each of you, God has given certain talents. Perhaps he's given you good health. Maybe he's given you a good education, a good job, a nice house, money in the bank. Why has God given you the good things of this world? It's precisely to help you on the road to heaven. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, how often do we misuse and abuse these gifts of God? The same thing goes for the supernatural gifts of God, what we call his graces. To each of you, God has given the gift of your Catholic faith, your Catholic baptism. Think of all the sacraments that you've received during your life. How many sermons have you heard? And yet, again, how often have we misused and wasted these graces that God has given us? We can consider also all that God himself has done and suffered so that you can be happy with him one day in heaven. Go over those five sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary and ask yourself, why does Jesus choose? And we say choose because Jesus is God. He is in complete control of everything that happens to him during his passion. So why does Jesus choose to undergo this sorrowful agony in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why does he want to have the flesh excoriated from his bones in the scourging at the pillar? Why does he choose to undergo this incredible indignity and humiliation of the crowning with thorns? Why does he want to go through the city of Jerusalem with that heavy cross upon his shoulder? And finally, why does he choose to die on the cross after 3 hours of agony? Was it because it was fun? No. It was because he values your soul, and he was willing to pay whatever price was necessary for your sins, so that one day you can enjoy the happiness of heaven with him. God loves you so much, it's as if you are the only creature that he had created. He loves you so much, it's as if he could not be happy unless he shared his happiness with you. And that's why we do not have the right to doubt God's love for us. He has proven it beyond the shadow of any doubt. In fact, God so desires to save the sinner that it's as if he goes to the very gate of hell, holding on to the sinner's hand. God's not letting go of the sinner, even there at the gate of hell. It's only at that moment of death, when the sinner says, "Thanks, God, but no thanks," and struggles out of God's grasp, that God is forced involuntarily to let the sinner fall into the hell that he has chosen for himself. God did not choose hell for that sinner. The sinner chose it for himself. God does want everyone to be saved. That is our first truth. And the second truth is just like it, that whoever is damned through his own fault. So we're going to have to go down into hell right now in our imaginations to realize that God gives sufficient grace to everyone to save his soul. So let's imagine that right here in the nave of our church, we've got a big manhole cover. Now, under that manhole cover, that's where hell is. So we're going to lift off this manhole cover and take a look into hell. Are you ready? Remember, it's gonna get hot. Flip over the manhole cover. Steam and smoke come out of the hole. Who are we going to pull out of hell first? Let's try a pagan. Okay, roll up your sleeve, lucky dip. Okay, Mr. Pagan, what are you doing down there in hell? Is it God's fault you're damned? What's Mr. Pagan going to tell you? No, he says, it's my own fault. Because even though I had never heard of Jesus Christ or his Catholic Church, still God had written on my heart and my soul the natural law. And if only I had followed the natural law, and if only I had been sorry for having offended my Creator, I could still be in heaven. It's my own fault. I'm damned. So you see, not even Mr. Pagan can blame God for his damnation. It's his own fault. Throw him back in. Who are we going to pull out of hell next? Let's try a Protestant. Okay, roll up your sleeve again. Okay, Mr. Protestant, what are you doing down there in hell? Surely you believed in the Blessed Trinity. You knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You had the Bible and the Ten Commandments. So what are you doing down there in hell? Is it God's fault you're damned? What's Mr. Protestant going to tell you? No, he says, it's my own fault. Because even though I believed in the Trinity and I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, even though I had the Bible and the Ten Commandments, still, because I was unwilling to do everything that Jesus taught me in the gospel, and especially because I was unwilling to submit to the authority of the sovereign pontiff, it's my own fault. I'm damned. So you see, not even Mr. Protestant can blame God for his damnation. It's his own fault. Throw him back in. Now, if the very pagans have no excuse for their damnation, what about us Catholics? Hey, wait a minute. Do you realize something? Do you realize we haven't seen any Catholics in hell yet? Hey, maybe there aren't any Catholics in hell after all. Hey, are there any Catholics down there in hell? Yeah, they're way down at the bottom. It's true. You see, as Catholics, you and I, we've been given many more graces than anyone else on the face of the earth. So if you or I end up in hell, we're gonna be way down at the bottom. With these pagans and Protestants, we've only been scratching the surface of hell. And so to you, Jesus says, stop for a moment in your busy life. And during this weekend of our parish mission, look above you and see the heaven that God has created you to enjoy. Look below you and see hell that you must avoid. Look before you and see Jesus hanging on the cross. He has already paid the price for your sins. We do not have the right to doubt God's love for us. He has proven it beyond the shadow of any doubt. And so we've seen these three points: that God has created you to enjoy the happiness of heaven with him one day, but that not everyone will be saved, and that if you end up in hell, it will be your own fault. So what do we have to do to avoid hell and to get to heaven? The first thing to do is to know how to make a good confession of our sins. And that's what we'll be looking at in our next sermon after the Mass this evening. During our parish mission, God is offering you his forgiveness and his mercy. Take advantage, then, of the extraordinary graces God wants to give you and your families during this parish mission. And if everyone here makes a good confession of their sins, then we may hope that one day everyone here will be saved. Let's ask God to grant us this grace through the immaculate hands of Mary, his mother, and ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.